This is JimBinbo.com e-news number 268, the 26th of June, 2009. This e-news is read by JimBinbo's text-to-speech robot Jimbo, or Jimbot, if you prefer. As usual, there are 5 items, and 3 feedbacks in this issue of e-news. Item 1. Growth midst recession. Scarcity and abundance. Even in the current global downturn, most of us are better off than our parents and grandparents. People are living longer, healthier lives, and have more choices than ever before. The technology guru George Gilber has long postulated. Every economic era is based on key abundances and scarcities. Every new abundance brings matching scarcities, and many of our problems are centered on these recurring anomalies. Our current scarcities offer opportunities. Markets create abundance by identifying needs, determining prices, and allocating goods. Markets thrive on scarcity and turn it into abundance. Wealth is generated when something is scarce and can be offered at a high premium over cost. Google is free, yet the company is profitable, growing, and making more money each quarter. They have found ways to sell scarcities amidst the free choices. In the midst of a seemingly abundant choice of a cell phone, Apple broke into the market to gain a leadership position fairly quickly. They did not offer what was already abundant, lots of cell phones with slightly different features. They offered the real value which people wanted, and were ready to buy at a premium. With the abundance of email, what is the true value of Facebook or Twitter? They have attracted all the buzz for creating social networking. It's like hosting a big cocktail party. But making money is their challenge, it's free, and nobody shops. They must find scarcities, things that everyone at the party needs which they can sell, without driving away the crowd. They don't yet have a scarcity revenue model. That's the challenge, to monetize social networking without ruining the atmosphere. Item 2. Software. Apple's real value offering. Apple is not an iPod company, nor a smartphone company. It's not even a computer company. Mac hardware is relatively mundane. In the midst of commodity products and markets, Apple is morphing into a serious software giant. The iPhone OS 3.0 software update released this month for the iPhone and iPod Touch is probably the most important technology event of the past few years. The real iPhone breakthrough is the software it unlocks for developers of third-party applications. It becomes not just a cell phone, but a computing platform. The App Store is now packed with more than 50,000 iPhone applications. There are apps for working out, for around the house, for going out, for making money. The software is the scarcity. No one else has the capability yet. By the time they catch up, Apple will be locked in as the standard. It remains to be seen how the other cell phone companies will react. Is your company affected by the recession? Are people simply not buying your products because of a budgetary crunch? This may be because you're selling commodities. Abundantly available stuff. The secret is to sell scarcity. Something in demand, which your customers must buy. Item 3. America's executive pay fiasco. While the U.S. economy struggles to find an even keel, employee layoffs are widespread. But top executives continue to collect gargantuan pay packages. It's a seemingly incurable disease that inflicts our capitalist economy. In case people mistake my motives as socialist leanings, let me proclaim that I am indeed an ardent capitalist. A century ago, J.P. Morgan said, a 20-to-1 ratio of CEO earnings to that of average workers was fair. Management guru Peter Drucker also preached that number. In 1974, the actual ratio in major U.S. corporations was 35 to 1. By 1991, this had increased to 150 to 1. In 2008, it was about 300 to 1 for all Fortune 500 companies, and 525 to 1 for the largest 50. This compares with about 25 in Britain, 20 in Canada and Italy, 12 in Germany, and 11 in Japan. There's something intrinsically wrong about the way America pays its top executives. The cultural assumption is that if you pay more, you get more, and people may get demotivated and leave if they are not rewarded sufficiently. Complete nonsense. Who sets the limits? Here's a case in point. In 2008, Dave Cote of Honeywell was listed as one of the highest-paid CEOs in America, with total earnings of $28,731,628, including a cash bonus of $17,500,000 and options worth $8,983,000. Midst regular rounds of layoffs, pay cuts, and budget reductions, Honeywell web blogs are replete with complaints about Dave Cote's compensation and his utter lack of sensitivity to the situation. When the failures of his short-term decisions eventually become evident, Dave Cote will escape blame by quickly exiting to some other highly paid CEO position, touting his old Honeywell accomplishments to a new, gullible and ineffective board, and the game will continue. After accepting his huge bonus and stock options, in 2008, David Cote took a 20% salary cut. His base salary is only a couple million, so that was just eyewash. There were no whoopies on the weblogs. And there's a common joke going around Honeywell. Why not outsource the CEO position and save millions of dollars? Item 4. Cloud computing on the horizon. Google, Microsoft, and Amazon are the leading players in a global race. They are building data center capacity around the world at a pace that has not been slowed by the current economic recession. They want to be ready with enough capacity to handle two big developments that will transform the technology world over the next decade. 1. Cloud computing applications and services, internet delivered. 2. Utility computing on-demand internet-based server capacity. Most IT departments now pay for maximum capacity at all times, with very low utilization. If they haven't planned for enough capacity at the high end, they risk downtime at peak times if their systems get overloaded. Utility computing wants simply to take over server capacity for private services and applications. They will seamlessly scale up and scale down services so that organizations only have to pay for the bandwidth and server capacity used. Watch for cloud computing to blossom in 2010. Item 5. Jimpinro.com e-news survey results. Just this week, I sent a survey to all Jimpinro.com e-news subscribers. Within just 3 days, the response, 25% and still climbing, is most gratifying. Thank you. This feedback helps me to target e-news content and frequency to meet your needs. A summary of results is published on the web to let you know how other readers feel about Jimpinro.com e-news. The feedback was rewarding. Everyone reads at least some of the content. Tastes were fairly eclectic, broadly spread between the various topics. At least 25% enjoy my political/social commentary, to signal that I should continue the blend of topics. The overwhelming majority prefer to receive e-news as plain text, with some internet browsing and iPod/BlackBerry readers. Automatic downloading with RSS is increasing. The majority don't listen to audio. But I'll continue to provide podcasts for the 10% who enjoy listening. I'll continue to offer Jimpinro.com e-news for free, because 75% of subscribers want that. In the future, I'll offer premium content with an annual subscription for those who wish to get high-value information and special consulting privileges. All in all, this is a rewarding exercise. I'll continue to keep track of your interests, tastes, and needs. If you haven't already, please take the survey. There's a link on my website. As usual, there are 3 feedbacks in this issue of e-news. Feedback 1. Jake Brodsky discusses the future of energy. Jake writes, "Jim, you brought up an interesting notion. From a purely defensive standpoint, it behooves us to research designs for our ecologies. Self-contained, aside of perhaps some stored energy resource or energy input from the sun, and self-sufficient towns/cities. This would actually solve many environmental problems all at once by forcing these self-sustaining cities to recycle everything. Since the beginning of time, our societies have been built upon the assumption that there are always new resources out there to be exploited somehow. When resources are scarce, many if not most societies tend to devolve toward some form of monarchy or dictatorship. Can we as humans govern such relatively closed systems wisely without degenerating toward a dictatorship of some sort? Feedback to David Bell on the future of newspapers. David writes, in 1948, Claude Shannon argued that there's an inverse relationship between power and bandwidth. This applies to organizations and their value, derived from their capacity to process information effectively. This indicates the following. 1. We're in an almost inconceivable informational storm. We've moved from a 100-channel economy to a 100-million-channel economy. Adapt or lose. Capacity to process and convey information has become an economic, organizational flashpoint. 2. Power-based models are informationally dysfunctional. Peer-based or culture-based models and organizations win daily battles for informational dominance. Power-based organizations are losing credibility. Power-based organizations and models are being defunded. Peer-based organizations and models are growing like weeds and earning presence. 3. There's global war between power-based and peer-based organizational and institutional models. This shows up in the Middle East, the U.S. election, newspapers, books, and music recordings, earnings erosion for old models. Successful marketing today is horizontal, cultural, peer-based, networked, etc. compared to old power-based marketing and decision-making models. The internet is ground zero for this war. Feedback 3. Bob James provides some good insights on the future of war, WMD, and the desire for respect and communication. Jim, your article got me thinking about our attitude, son. Talking/communicating/respecting other governments that do not totally buy into our model of their behavior and philosophy. Anyone who has ever harbored teenage children knows how behavior speaks volumes about being heard, respected, and listened to, etc. Our recent past has been one of ignoring, ridiculing, threatening, and attacking the bad guys in the world. Let's push them far enough so we can attack them. Is there any hope given this mindset? Well, that's this issue of E-News. Please send us your feedback. Tell Jim how you like me, his Jimbot text-to-speech robot. Send your email to jim@jimbinbo.com. Thank you.